Magic. Absolutely. That is why we swim run. And honestly, we found it challenging to impart that magic to people pre-race, but it feels pretty universal that if you experience a swim run, there's some element of the narrative post-race that includes that word or that feeling.
Welcome to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. I'm Chip.
And I'm Chris. And this is episode 21. We're officially legal. Is that? Anyway. This is too early for a joke like that on the show, I think. But on this episode, we have Annie and Brooke from Swim Run Labs. We had a great chat with them. Really enjoyed getting to know them a little bit better. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that later in the show.
But first, let's get into how training's going for everybody. I am going to recuse myself from this part of the show, and I'm just going to defer my time to Chris. So go ahead, Chris. How's your training been going?
So yielding your time, yes. So I mentioned it on last week's show that I was going to engage in some endurance antics over the weekend. And
if you follow on our Strava,
yeah, follow us on Strava group. You can see that there, which is growing, which is it's kind of fun.
I know, we were like, I'm like, wow, this is
pretty cool.
Got like
32 people. Oh my god,
35 or something.
Wow, 35. That's great. Anyway, so I got a bug in my butt to run from my house, which is in sort of northern Nevada, to a town in southern Marin County called Mill Valley. If you're not familiar with that, there's a great coffee shop there called Equator. Mm-hmm. So my thought was to essentially try to get there through all the awesome trail system that exists in the county. So I did it. 37 miles or 60 kilometers later, almost just under 10 hours.
Just under 10, yeah.
7,000 feet of climbing.
Gross.
Pretty warm out.
So if you don't know what Mill Valley is, it's the sea level home of Mount Tam. So if you've heard of Mount Tam or anything over in the Marin Headlands.
It's kind of like, I mean, I would even go as far as saying it's probably one of the trail running meccas in the United States. I mean, thousands and thousands of miles of trails. I want to run all of them at some point. Definitely know all the trails closer to San Francisco and the Marin Headlands from just running there over the years. Yeah. And I knew there was a way to connect through the trail system, basically getting all the way to Mount Tam. And of course, if you're going to go near Mount Tam, you might as well summit it and then come down the other side why not? So it was a really cool challenge. Interesting to do it just solo, waking up super early and just kind of going out there. I would do it again, but I wouldn't do it by myself. I would definitely, if someone wanted to do it, and actually what's been really weird is three friends have reached out being like, hey, next time you do it, I want in, which I'm just like, what's wrong with you? I know there's something wrong with me, but what's wrong with you? Yeah.
I need names, but we'll talk. I need the names off air.
I can tell you the names off air.
So 10 hours I was texting Chris throughout it because I knew it was going to be you left your house at 4.
Yep.
In the morning, and then he finished at, I don't even know, whatever that 10-hour plus window is.
Yeah, it was like 1-ish or something.
And it's a pretty, no joke of a run. So if you want to check it out, go on our Low Tide Boys Strava Club and look for Chris's activity this weekend. But how are you feeling otherwise in terms of recovered now that's been three or four days?
It's been 2 days.
Now that's been 2 days. How do you feel?
Feel good. Yeah, nothing. I mean, I went, I wasn't trying to set any land speed records or anything. So I was going chill the whole time, just trying to keep it in my pants. And yeah, just, you know, it's a long time to just, it was really just like a mental thing.
Yeah.
Physically, you know, I mean, anybody, if they take their time, can just cover that distance, whether they're hiking or whatever. Anybody who's been
totally,
training,
yeah.
I guess. But it was fun.
Nice. Yeah. Well, we've been getting a few photos and shares in on our Instagram page tagging us about the Wild Swim Run.
Yeah, that's right.
Collab that we have on the merch.
Yep, which is still going. But this weekend, mm-hmm. this last weekend, they had a swim run camp.
Yes, on Uto. Otolo came out and I guess they even marked the course.
Wow.
Which I saw, that seemed pretty interesting that Otolo marked the course. Then the Wild Swim Run folks went out there and had a camp. So it was really cool. They looked like they had probably
at least a dozen,
12 or so women out there doing that with Fanny and Mia. And it was really cool. So if you're not following them already on Instagram, they post a lot of great content. And it's really cool to see kind of the behind the scenes stories about the camps and all that stuff. The water was really, really cold. So big ups to those ladies that went out there and did that camp.
So Chipper, we have a very special announcement this week. There's someone very special we'd like to mention.
Grace has become another Patreon supporter of the Low Tide Boys.
We have a new Patreon, Grace from St. Paul, Minnesota. Yep. Thank you so much for supporting the show. It really helps us to try to cover
keep the lights on, as they say.
Yeah, keep the lights on. It's a labor of love, but it isn't a free labor. So we really appreciate the support and thank you for your feedback on the content.
Yes, and we by no means are trying to put pressure on anybody to support us on Patreon. We know that these are unprecedented times and some people may be with no pay or lower pay than what they're used to. We'll be fine without it.
Yeah.
But if you have bills flying out of your wallet and you want to throw some money to the Low Tide Boys, we'll take it.
We will. For our shout outs this week, we wanted to give a special thank you and shout out to Greg from Team Boston Wet Sox. They were on the show about a month ago at this point.
Yeah.
4 or 5 episodes back. But, Greg sent us a great email just giving us a lot of really good feedback for things we could do with the show. And, that just got Chipper and I thinking about just how much we really appreciate that, not just from Greg, but from everyone that's been giving us feedback on how we can improve the show. I mean, we don't really know what we're doing. We're not really trying to follow any conventions with the show. I take that back. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Chipper is very experienced.
I think we kind of know what we're doing.
Chipper's very experienced in the podcast game. But... we're trying to really help grow the sport and we want to try to do it in the best way possible. And it really helps us when folks like Greg and everyone else has reached out, Trista, Sarah, everybody, to basically just give us feedback on things we could do to improve the show. So we really want to try to put out the best content for everyone and we're all in this together. So thank you, Greg, and thank you for everyone else that's been reaching out.
Yeah, much appreciated on that part. And if you don't know where to leave feedback, you can do that on our Instagram page, The Low Tide Boys, again with the Z, that's on Instagram, or lowtideboys@gmail.com if you have any feedback, long form, that's you don't want to hammer out on your phone keyboard.
Yep.
Just send an email. So diving into this interview with the Swim Run Labs, which is a swim run gear review site and blog
and team
out of the Pacific Northwest.
That's right. So Annie and Brooke were great enough to be on the show. And I really love this interview because it's almost like the female version of us. They started their blog gear review site a couple of months before we started our podcast. Mm-hmm. So in many ways, we're trying to do the same thing, just in a different medium, which makes me really excited to say that if you enjoyed our review of our Blue 70 Alliance Swim Run Wetsuit, then you might be extra happy to know that we're gonna try as the best we can. We're gonna do the reviews with Swim Run Labs. So we'll get a male perspective, a female perspective. They're way more experienced than we are. They qualified for Atala World Championship and
this
everything.
Year, yeah.
So we think that's gonna just add more better value to those reviews and more it'll help more people basically.
Yes, totally. And they also did a review on the Blue 70 Alliance Swim Run Wetsuit on their site, so check that out, swimrunlabs.com. But yeah, we're excited for that, for the bonus content. We'll try to make it work as often as we can. But yeah, anyway,
it's a great show.
It's
really
a good show.
It.
Good episode. We really hit it off with them. I feel like we say that with every guest, but again, it's true again. So without further ado, enjoy Annie and Brooke from Swim Run Labs.
With us today, we have the team Swim Run Labs. Annie Molesbury and Brooke Lindsley signed up for their first swim run race in 2016 at the Bellingham Swim Run. They are physical therapists by day and wild human-powered adventurers with backgrounds in adventure racing, ultra running, and triathlon. And they were eager to take their next endurance challenge with swim run. They cobbled together a makeshift race kit, including an oversized surf wetsuit, heavily cushioned running shoes, and last-minute DIY pool buoy setup, which obviously that's our favorite topic. They raced with reckless enthusiasm, bright smiles, and fabulously ill-fitting gear. And they won the race. And, you know, no big deal. So welcome to the show, ladies. Thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. We always speak in unison.
That's you guys are a great team then. Lots of experience.
Synced.
So I guess as a first question, who convinced whom to sign up for that first race in 2016?
You can speak to this one, Brooke.
Let's see. Annie is like Chris, I think, and I'm more like Chipper.
Oh, okay.
So Annie does all the crazy things and literally drags me along via a tether with her. So she convinced me.
Nice. It's gotten so bad that I'm asking Chris, hey, what races should I do this year?
Yeah.
So I can plan my schedule off.
Yeah, and Chipper's wife is like, stop talking to him.
Like, I asked Annie what I should have dinner.
I just advised Brooke on some sock purchases. Oh, you guys there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Sock purchases?
Yeah. She makes her own decisions a lot, though.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Oh, that's good. So how did you guys first hear about Swim Run? Obviously, you know, Annie, you're married to a race director who puts on Swim Run events, but is that how it happened? Or you sort of, in your endurance journeys, you're seeking for cool events? How did that come about?
It was absolutely the race director spouse pipeline.
Gotcha.
Brent had been convinced, actually, because he's not, he, until he started putting on swim runs, had never explored swimming. And so he had a buddy who was a swimmer and a runner and had heard about Swim Run and was like, you got the race on. And so he got caught up in the romance of it and put the race on. And then he kind of reached out to me and a few of our other closest friends and was like, I've got this race and we really need some participants. And so I was like, yeah, let's do it. And actually Brooke, I also had the barrier of not really being a swimmer at all. So Brooke taught me how to swim and we did it.
How long did you spend learning how to swim?
She's still learning. It's a never ending
learning.
Same.
Yeah. Lifelong student.
She had never even swam with her face in the water. And so the first lesson was just like, don't breathe with your face in the water and try to take a breath when your face is out of the water. And she did it after a few near drowning experiences.
Well, and yeah, that's
now she's an awesome swimmer.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are winning races and stuff. That's great. So funny side note about Brent, his first race, he's a swim run race director. His first swim run was Catalina, which is
totally
kind of insane to that be your first swim run event, but this isn't about him.
No, this
we'll
is
chat
about
with
you
him
too.
Later. So 2016, you do your first race. You guys are kind of hooked. What happened in terms of you guys create Swim Run Labs? Like, tell us that whole story.
Yeah. What's the genesis of that?
The genesis of that is we completely fell in love with this sport. And it, as you have mentioned many times, I think we can commiserate on the fact that it's hard to distill it into a soundbite. And it's hard to help people understand what it is and bring them into the swim run world without a very extensive, sometimes monologue where you lose your audience. And so we just felt like we have got to provide entry points and education and a way for people to understand what this is first, because once they understand what it is, they might get to a starting line. And for sure, once they get to a starting line, they are going to love it. And it was all in an effort to grow something that we were super in love with.
I mean, that sounds very similar to the Low Tide Boys story, if I might say myself. But yeah, I mean, I think there still is a scarcity of content, and it is always surprising when someone new goes, oh, I've never heard about that. And you try to explain it to them. And yeah, there's so many interesting and
nuances
to it. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I find myself like, and I don't like getting myself in this position, but I find myself trying to defend all the ways that it's not a triathlon before I'm actually explaining what it is, because, you know, people just jump there.
Yeah.
And it gets, it like, it really like singes a nerve deep in my core. And I start like babbling on about the ways that it's different. And I was like, you know what? This would be easier if it was just written down.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny you say that, because I think it's natural for people to try to analogize it to something else. So triathlon seems to make the most sense, you know, requires endurance. It's a multi-sport event type of thing. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I think when I describe it to people, I kind of ask them if they're in their sort of post-triathlon, post-Taipei type of like place, because you have to be comfortable with ambiguity. And you know, that's one of the things that I think, if you're in that state of mind, I think we had a guest recently, Marcus, who just called it magic, and it really is. I mean, our first race.
Magic, absolutely. That is why we swim run. And honestly, we found it challenging to impart that magic to people pre-race, but it feels pretty universal that if you experience a swim run, there's some element of the narrative post-race that includes that word or that feeling.
Yeah, 100%. 100 times over that 100%.
What I would say, the only caveat to that would be like, if you actually respect it, like if you show up undertrained, totally not prepared, just thinking like, oh, this is going to be not a problem, and you don't have a great experience. But if you do your due diligence and you respect it and fear it a little bit, then I think then it sort of opens up to the adventure piece of it, and not having to be like an ordeal or something like that.
I've noticed the more, and this is again another data point in this, and I know you're very data driven, you two are, I'm hearing more and more people say pretty much their first swimrun race, within the first leg or two, they're kind of getting the bug already. And especially when they finish, like, you know, if we think of it as, if Swimrun's Lab's job or Low Tide Boy's job, quote unquote, is to like turn people onto swimrun and just get them to the start line.
Exactly.
Our work is done, because we know the race will take care of itself and hook them.
Exactly.
That is it. You nailed it.
So
yeah, we feel like the same way. Like every start of a race, you know, a swim run race is just so different than the start of any other race I've been involved in. And I don't come from like a huge racing background, but the few triathlons that I have done and running races, you know, the start line is just kind of everyone's in their head. Everyone's like syncing their watches. They're like game faces on. And you're at the start line of a swim run race and everyone's just chatting. Like, it's just like a chat fest. And then you start going and you're in that kind of herd initially. Mm-hmm. And I think we've had a few races, Annie, where like, it's a, you know, we're going, actually Orcas last year, all of us as a group, we're going down the trail and then everyone's just kind of following the herd, but you got to like do heads up racing. You got to look for, you know, where the trail markers are. And then we all like realize, oh, nope, it's over here. And everyone's like, no, guys, it's this way. And they help each other out. And then from that point on, everyone's like, oh, this is the vibe of the race. It's like collaborating. It's helping people. It's kind of like a giant teamwork, not only just like you and your partner, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, we had a similar experience in Casco Bay where we, about halfway through the race, Chris tells me that he's not wearing any glasses. And I'm running fast. Or I'm running a little, it's like dicey, you know, single track woodsy up in Portland, Maine.
Okay, can I just defend myself real quick?
Well, I'm trying.
So I, you know, like a lot of people, I just can't touch my eyeballs, so I can't do contacts. So I just wear glasses, and swim run makes it pretty tough to, you know, I can't be throwing on glasses after every swim. So there's a specific.
So you just live in an ambiguous world.
I got through high school without being able to watch, you know, TV or the whiteboard, because I was too cool to wear glasses. So I can get away with it. But there's a specific terrain that's very challenging for me, and that's like
roots and rocks and
when it's sort of wooded and there's sort of leaves on the ground, it's hard for me to sort of make any, I can't get any depth, I guess, on my step, so it kind of makes me.
Dude, how did you do on that island, like the rock island?
That wasn't as bad, because we were going slow. Like if we were going full speed, I would have come out with like three less teeth, I think.
Oh yeah, I would have broke my collarbone.
But anyway, yeah. So we're in this part of the race where we're in the woods, like a scary New England, like haunted.
There's gunpowder everywhere.
Yeah.
Or
like random old rich people hanging out somewhere.
Yeah. Maybe.
On their porches with their like spiked lemonade.
Yeah. 8:30 in the morning. And yeah, we were running through and Chris was like, hey, remember, I don't have my glasses on. And I'm like, oh shit, that's right. And I kind of look. And then we're with this other group and we're like, oh, we haven't seen a marker in a while. So we had a double back. I don't know how much we went off.
It wasn't
but
bad.
It wasn't too bad, but it was us and a couple teams. I think we were following them or anyway.
Wait, what year was that?
This was 2017. No, 2018.
No. Was it short or long course?
Long course.
It was the, we jumped off the dock.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So
we actually did short course in 2018 and same thing, like running through the woods and it was single track. And like I said, everybody's heads down, looking at the feet in front of them and like looking at the terrain. And then Annie, and I accredit this to her adventure racing background, was not looking down and was just like,
yeah,
all around and saw a flag in the woods, but like off a like trail.
It was not where we were.
Yeah, everyone was going on the main trail, and then there's this side trail with a flag. And Annie was like, oh shit, it's this way. And so we
off. It was loud. It was much louder than that. I let them all know.
Like, oh shit, it's this way. Like that.
Yeah,
like that.
We peel off. For a second, like we were in the middle of the pack, maybe a little bit behind or forward, whatever. And then we peel off, and for a second, we look at each other and we're like, oh, we're in the lead. We're number one right now because everyone's going on the wrong way. We're the only one on the right course. And we were just like so stoked about being number one in the entire race for like 5 seconds.
That's pretty funny.
That's pretty good.
Then everybody caught up.
So you did the race in 2016. That was your first bit into swim run. When did the swim run labs aspect, and I'm talking about swimrunlabs.com, where you have training, you have gear reviews, your events, your blog posts, all sorts of stuff. When did that come about?
That was post Casco Bay 2019, so that was just this last August. And we again, like flying high on the magic, we were like, this has, we can somehow make this a bigger thing than just us. And we sat around a table on an island in Maine and kind of conceptualized it, and then worked on kind of creating the site and putting everything together. And then
we mostly worked on the logo for like 2 hours.
It is important.
It's a cool logo.
The important stuff.
Nice. And so you have a lot of great gear and reviews, very non-biased reviews. Most of what I'm seeing, you're buying the stuff yourself. People aren't, you know, hey, would you mind taking a look at this? But you have a very interesting approach to it, which is kind of that data-driven approach, which I really like. And I heard earlier that we have some, probably a kinesiology major or two with us. So you have the data-driven background, it sounds.
Yeah, definitely. We're both physical therapists. And so for that training, the background is very much exercise physiology, being familiar with how to conduct and interpret research. And you sort of learn to look at everything through this science-based lens, so that we wanted to apply that lens to how we were putting together our kit and how we were looking at what's out there for gear. And it turns out that there's some pretty interesting data you can collect when you do a pull buoy 100 meter trial in the pool, comparing all the pull buoys out there.
Sure.
Yeah, like big differences. I think also just to make it like make the research translatable. Like, so we do have like a part to the website where we're kind of digesting research about running and swimming that can get pretty technical if you're digging into like primary sources. But I like kind of taking that content and turning it into something that makes sense to anyone who reads it, so that they know like, oh, I'm going to work on, you know, strengthening the endurance of my serratus anterior for swimming, you know, like this muscle that maybe I'd never heard of before.
Never heard of that.
I was just going to be like, oh, I hate it when that happens. But
you should check it out.
I can't Google that if I don't know how to spell it.
So yeah, just like making research accessible to people so that they can make good decisions on their training and gear and but not to like all pigeonhole it into like it all has to be evidence-based, because like you guys have iterated on your show, and we did this the first 2 years of racing, and I think everyone should not let this be a barrier. Like, you can wear and put on whatever you want and go out and do it, and you know, and like you said, it's, you're going to enjoy it more if you're more well trained for it, but you don't need to like get into the nitty-gritty science of it to love it, you know.
Oh yeah, I think that's true. And frankly, one of the things I really love about the sport is just even, you know, even at Catalina, which is, you know, a world-class event, you know, there's people running around like carrying their pool buoys like a football and stuff.
Yeah, like a Heisman.
Oh yeah.
And I actually really love that.
We talked to on the beach beforehand, and he's like, I saw that, you know, I looked at this picture of Swimrun, and at the last minute I saw that people were using paddles. So I went out and got these paddles. Like, what do you think of these? How should I put them on my hand?
Oh my God.
And like, yeah, try it out, man.
And you're like, oh God, your shoulders are going to be ripped off your body before the end of
you,
this.
You, sir, are going to be smoked.
Smoke show.
You're going to need
cursing those paddles.
Yeah, rotator cuff surgery after this. Nice. And so you have a pretty good swim run race resume, I guess. I'm looking here on your site. It looks like maybe 4 to 6-ish swim runs that you have done as a team together. Is that accurate?
Whoa.
More, less?
More.
Oh, you do have the Seattle ones. That's 3 a year up there. So you're probably closer to 15.
We've done probably like maybe like 8 to 10, 10 or 8, 9. I think Catalina might have been 9 or 10.
9.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Have you done any internationally?
We are super duper monogamous partners.
That's cool.
You're not in an open relationship like Marcus.
Yeah.
Marcus changes partners frequently.
Yeah, he has like a partner for each race.
Open marriage by any means.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of how we are. I mean, at this point, for me, it's all about having fun, and to even try out a new swim run partner, like, I just don't even want to go through that.
It seems like an exhaustive experience to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done every race together.
I can't imagine it, really. Like, we just kind of, after our first race, like, I don't know about you guys, but after our first race, we were literally laughing and giggling the entire time. Like, every time we got out of the water and we're like walking drunkenly to the shore for the run, you know, we were just like, this is insane. Ha 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 ha. And, you know, every time we got caught in each other's tether, you know, on the swim, just like popping our heads up and laughing and coughing water. And it was just that whole experience. I remember just like my cheeks being more sore than like my leg, because we were just, in pure bliss. Like, it was awesome. So I can't imagine, like, that was our losing our virginity to each other, if you will. Oh. And I can't imagine doing that with anybody.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can only do that once.
You can only do it once.
So I'm told.
Well,
it's like, change gears here. So I have a question. Obviously, you know, when you put together Swim Run Labs and you're trying to put out this content, you're obviously want to get this information out because you think it'll help someone along the journey, discover the sport, have a great first experience, fall in love, yada, yada, yada. But deeper than that, it's kind of like the idea is like, hey, I want to give something back to the sport because I want to help it grow. Was that part of your mentality? It was like, hey, I'm going to put out this labor of love. It's going to take a ton of time to do it well, but ultimately, we think this sport is so special that we want to try to help it grow. Was that kind of like the genesis of sort of the deeper reason for starting this?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Not only grow, but I think grow in what we would consider the quote unquote right way.
Stepping back from right or wrong, just essentially create a space for us and everyone who comes along to steward the sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
well put.
That's actually, I mean,
also like, like, I think also creating, like, for me, it was important. Like, I remember when my husband read through the website, like front, like the whole thing for like 3 hours, because he was like editing stuff, right, and testing links. And he doesn't do swim run, and he's not a racer, and he's not super competitive. But he was like, this website, he's like, I was like welling up at some points about how awesome this sounded. And it made me want to do a swim run, which is like really unheard of.
Mission accomplished.
Because he's just, like I said, not an endurance athlete, not competitive. And for me, that was the kind of person that I was really excited to attract through the website, like to make it accessible.
And
not just talk about the intense training and how hardcore it is. I mean, that's an aspect to it. And I respect that aspect and love that about it. But also just to make people who've never done it be like, oh, this sounds like fun and I can do it, you know?
Yeah, and we talk about this a lot, and I think this is what Swim Run Lads does really well too. The sport in general is pretty accessible. Yes, you can dump a ton of money and get brand new everything, but you also can just go out in your shoes and goggles essentially and do a smaller, shorter race and you would be totally fine.
Yeah,
and
there are smaller, shorter races all over. You know, like what Brent's putting together with Quest Racing. You know, these are like just little local races that everyone, like almost everyone at those races, is a first-time swim runner, and they're doing it with the mom and daughter are doing it. You know, or kids, like younger teenagers are doing it. You know, you just get like a wide variety of people.
Nice, and we should definitely talk about that you two qualified for the 2020 Oatlo World Championship coming up this year. A top ranked women's division team, according to slowtwitch.com. How excited are you two for that?
I'll tell you something about being the top ranked women's team in the United States.
There aren't that many.
We got in early and we were consistent enough.
Find a really niche sport and then go at it hard for a couple years.
Yes, top ranked
and
ride also
the glory way for as long as you can until someone dethrones you.
Yes, top ranked and also first in line.
Yeah.
Still though, you have to go out there and do this thing.
The fact that, and it is an interesting ranking system that Oatlo has with the, you have to keep the same partner, because there's people that are probably better individual type athletes that could partner swap. They could do some swinging and get a high result for themselves. But then, you know,
are you saying there's other female athletes out there that are better than Annie and I at swim run?
No, not at all. He's not saying that. His attorney, he's retracting that statement. Yeah.
I think your consistency and your frequency are properly rewarded.
Yeah.
In this case.
Thank you. Totally. We are so lucky that was the method that could create a pathway to Sweden.
I mean, and I think that's another, you know, this whole show is a love fest about swim run. But I think when you're talking about Oatlo, I really, really appreciate their ranking system. It's a little bit complicated.
Yeah.
And we actually listed it out on our site just to try to like break
it's
that down
Swedish.
A little bit.
But
I mean, it encourages people going through the sport together, doing a bunch of races together. And the ultimate goal is the longest day of your life. It's great.
Yeah. And you know who has an awesome article about the ranking system is Wild Swim Run. They have like a really good article about not only the ranking system, but why it favors women to apply and try to qualify.
Right.
Because they try to make it as egalitarian as possible, and there's not nearly as many women, female teams as male mix.
Right.
So when I read that article, I was like, cool, like this, like all the women should know about this because it is possible, you know?
And the more of us, the more female teams that apply, the more female teams get to race.
And
that's something that honestly kind of drew us and impressed us about the sport early on is just how equality is more in the forefront of just the thought of everything. And it's not kind of, you know, like Iron Man where it's, oh, well, you know, we would do that, but blah, blah, blah. And they just keep running around in circles and running away from what seems to be to most people like a fairly easy answer. But swim run seems to have got it decently 90% right, I would say. And we'll be sure to link that article that, that Fanny and Mia wrote on Wild Swim Run in the show notes.
Yeah, I mean, and I think another thing that I appreciate about swim run is swimming is such a it really levels the playing field because it doesn't matter how tall you are, how strong you are. It's like if you're a great swimmer, you grew up swimming or whatever, like it doesn't matter if you're male, female, or what. Like you're just a super strong swimmer. Like the ocean doesn't care. Or the lakes don't care. And you see like Fanny and Desiree. I mean, Desiree is small. 5 feet, maybe 100 pounds, maybe.
Pretty tiny.
And she is, I mean, she'll beat anybody in the water. It's crazy.
I know. Yeah, you're right. It does level the playing field. And then I also think the part about just like the like transitioning and stuff, like the multiple transitions, there's no other sport that really prepares you for that. And so, I mean, even the best athletes get caught up in that aspect of it, you know, transitioning smoothly from land to sea, shaking off the dizziness and getting their legs back and working. And that's a good point. And I've never actually thought about that.
Yeah. That's what our previous guest, Nicholas Ramirez, calls the technique of swim run.
Ooh.
Nice.
The transitions.
Which,
the
transitioning. There's a lot to it.
Yeah, there is. And it's like that. That's what you should practice. That was kind of one of his take home messages.
Well, and so, like, you can't, like, I think that would appeal to, like, triathletes. Like, they can drill down and hone in on those, like, really time saving strategies, like transitions. You know, they do that in their sport, you know. So, applying that to something like swim run is something that I think could appeal to them. You know, they can be type A about it if they want to.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and I'd say to some extent, I think maybe me a little bit more than Chipper, like, I want to get better at the sport. Like, I want to, like...
I want to get better.
Like, I want to knock, but I want, like right...
Wait a second.
Hold on, let me defend myself.
It's like, and we're no longer partners. Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
New partner
on the market. Like right after Catalina, I was like, I want to come back next year and drop an hour off our time. And he was like, whoa, buddy. It's like, slow down, buddy. Yeah. Can we just get our veggie burgers first before you start, like... but yeah.
That is like Annie to a T, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm on board with
the... Let's skip the last three aid stations so that we can, like, pass these women. And I'm like, no, man, I live for the aid stations. Like, when I get to an aid station, I'm like, what kind of cookies are we going to have? Like, what kind of homemade treats are there going to be?
They do have good snacks, I will say. And I'm not overly big that I can turn the lens on myself and... Maybe I do am dilly-dallying a little bit on doing the tether and having an espresso before I head in the water, but there is some tightening to be done. I will admit.
Oh,
that.
Yeah, for sure. But for me, it was just like, it's like, oh man, this is the first time doing a race, like kind of like on this quote-unquote stage. And I was like, I want to do more of these and want to make it more respectable.
Since we have you.
So I wanted to ask you guys.
Oh,
let's have it.
I don't know if we're at, I wanted to ask you guys, at our questioning part, but I wanted to ask each of you what you thought the best quality in the other person was. But before you answer that, I want you to think what you think your best quality is as a partner and see how they compare.
And Brooke and I will do the same.
Is this so? This is like dating game, kind of.
Yeah, totally. Okay. It's like a bachelorette party.
Okay, so I think I know what I think my best quality is.
Your hair?
No, definitely not. So some people have bad hair days. I'm having a bad hair life, but it's okay.
I mean, you have it in your... Anyway.
Yeah, I'm having a good
What's
day today.
What's your best...
What I think my best quality is? Wait, so what...
What do you think I'm going to say?
What are the rules? Should I say what I think Chipper's is?
Yeah. So, like, Chip, you got to come up with your answer about his best quality right now in your head. And, like, Scout's honor can't change it after he says what his best quality is.
Okay, I'll whisper it into the mic.
Okay.
what do you think
that was me whispering? So what I think your best quality is?
No, what's your best quality?
What my own best quality. Okay, so I think my best quality as a swimmer and partner is just being present and you know, kind of the idea of like being somebody you can count on.
Dependable.
Dependable.
I would say man, I was going to kind of say the same thing about myself. I feel like that's probably what I would have said about you.
But what did you say?
I honestly couldn't think of it fast enough. I don't know. Yeah. It requires more thought for me. But I will say, I know that Chris is always going to be there and always be taking a step forward. You know, like, as long as we're moving forward, we're headed in the right direction, sort of. And
yeah,
Chris is very good about making sure that that happens.
Yeah, that's definitely. Yeah, totally. That's one of my mantras, is just keep moving forward.
You're like the trudger. You're like the honey badger.
Stay away from the chair.
Yeah. Yeah, stay away from the chair. Don't sit in the chair.
No sitting.
Yeah, and it's funny when we've done like 100Ks and stuff together, and early on I'm always like, let's go, and Chipper's just like grazing at aid stations and stuff like that, and it's getting all like passive aggressive. Then he gets his second win and I'm tired, and I was like, oh, just take off, I'll catch up with you later. And then I never do.
Annie, what do you say about Brooke?
Okay, Brooke's best partner quality is her 100%-ness. 100% whatever. 100% dance montage,
like
warm-up.
All in.
100%.
Yeah.
All in. Like 100% gonna stop at the aid station and have a coffee break. 100, you know, that's fine. I know that's gonna happen.
Yeah.
100% gonna pull my slow self through a swim. That I very much appreciate. 100% going to run herself into the ground, honestly, which is a bit of a liability, and why I'm glad we're partners, but it ultimately is just an amazing quality to know that you have tethered to you.
Yeah. So
you pulled me into the ground on that race.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, you know,
we were running down Orcas tethered, and this solo racer is running by us, and he's like, okay, this is going to be a horrible French-Canadian accent, but he was like, you're running too fast. You're going to kill your partner. And then just as he finishes saying that, I face planted.
Oh.
Like,
oh. Ouch.
And
was it on a nice bed of redwood?
Yeah.
It was on some luscious PNW Duffy soil.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That's not, you know.
Goodness. Yeah, with my luck, I would have like lost a nipple on that or something.
Or got a big splinter.
Yeah.
That's why you have another one.
That's true. That's true.
Or the James Bond villain had three.
Yeah, Dr. No.
Yeah, you only need one.
Or no. Man with the Golden Gun, man, that guy?
Yeah, Golden Gun. All right, now, is it my, it's my turn. What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, but Chris, do you have his best quality in your head?
Yes.
Or do you need time to think about it?
No, I haven't.
No, I would say I feel that I also say the same thing that Chris said, is that I'm kind of keep moving forward. Like, we both have that about us, but I think Chris will say that I will take any extra swim yards there are available to tow on. So that's what I would say.
Well, that wasn't what I was more on like a metaphysical level or whatever.
Wow.
For me, it was like, what I always appreciate about you is loyalty, like as a friend, but also like as a teammate, like just making sure everything's getting done. You know, Catalina is a great example. I was, by that last swim, I was done. I was just done. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to lead us out. I'm just going to go as far as I can. And then that's all I got. And that the end of that swim, I wasn't even sighting. I was just like head down, just trying to stay on his feet. And I knew I could count on him for that, because that's just like, you know, like I never have to worry about where his head is at, because I can just know that it's all about accomplishing our goal. And yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
it's like hitch your wagon to this big bus.
Oh, I said he blew you out of the water on that love fest.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I'm embarrassed.
Did have a little bit more time to think about it. So.
That's true. But I edit the show, so I'll make it seem where I'm really good. Okay, whose turn is it over? Brooke has to comment on Annie's best aspect of being a swim run partner.
Yes. I think Annie's best aspect, asset is glass half full. Like,
yeah.
The shittiest thing could happen and she will somehow turn it into, that was an awesome adventure.
Yeah.
And like an example of this is Casco Bay this past year. I don't know if you guys got caught, you know, some of the currents on that race are pretty crazy.
Oh yeah.
And, we had some bonus yards in there.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I think like I was doing like a treadmill experience for like 30 minutes at one point, but there was a part where it was a pretty big crossing. I can't remember.
Probably. It was like
the last swim.
Oh, yeah.
The sandbar one. Where the tide was
before that. It was a super long one that was,
it was like 2K or something, right?
Yeah. Well, that was
a long one.
Yeah.
And I remember I remember sighting the whole way and it was good. You know, we're on track. Didn't feel the current that much. And then as soon as we got pretty close to shore was when I was like, whoa, there's the current. And there were all these lobster boats like tied up, you know, in the little cove. And, I was aiming to go in front of the bow of a lobster boat. And by the time we got there, I wasn't going to manage to get in front of it, but I could squeeze myself between the bow and the rope, like where the,
buoy,
the mooring buoy
like
line.
The anchor.
Yeah. Like the buoy line, you know, there's probably a technical term for that, but I don't know what it is. And so I barely make it through. And then I realize, shit, I have this person tethered to me. Is she going to make it through? And she does not make it through and gets, our tether gets wrapped around the bow of the boat.
Oh shit.
Oh, boy.
And she's on one side and I'm on the other and the tether is slowly getting forced under the boat. And it's like so taut at this point that we can't unhook. Like I tried unhooking cause I was like, I need to unhook so she can be free from this.
Wow.
And then I see her like tiny little cold fingers.
You were going to say arms. And just say it. It's my arms. They're tiny. It's okay.
Yeah, little twiggy arms. Grasp around the bow of the boat and just like pull herself ferociously against this current to like pop over onto the other side.
Like a phoenix from the ashes.
Oh, totally.
Wow.
And so then we're just going straight for the shore and I'm thinking like, she's going to kill me. Like I just like almost put her life in danger. Like that was really shitty. We get to shore and she's like, oh my God, did you see that?
It's like, that was crazy.
That was so fun. Like,
so stoked about it. And I thought it was so badass.
I mean, that's definitely a good attitude. Awesome. Definitely. It's important to keep it positive on something like that. I mean, when we did Casco, we had our yardage kind of messed up and the course was longer than we were sort of anticipating just from maps
honestly,
and everything
mentally
else.
Ready for.
Yeah. So yeah, we usually do like our chit chat. Like we can go for like a 10-hour run and not stop talking the whole time. And there was one point in that race where we just both kind of got quiet and started doing work, but we kept moving forward and we're still communicating, but it wasn't like, yeah. So anyway, last week I was at Costco and like, did you see how much this was on discount or whatever? Like the usual crap we talk about.
Yeah. You know, it gets real when you guys are kind of just like head down.
Yeah.
You know, can't like,
try. Yeah. And I would say that's the same for us. We generally have a fair bit of banter going on, but when it's time to work, it's time to work. And that is a quiet time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quiet work time. So, so let me ask you, what's been your favorite race that you've done so far?
I knew you would ask us that.
I did too. And I totally didn't prepare.
Well, I
mean,
did.
Some people have easier answers than the others, I think.
It's a really tough call. I mean, that glass half full thing. I'm one of those people who like, I can have 10 fish sandwiches in my life and every fish sandwich is the best fish sandwich I've ever had.
Wow.
And I kind of feel that way about swim run races.
She's from Maine. Yeah. Did you guys know that about her?
Oh.
She's from an island in Maine.
Okay.
Okay.
Nice.
That's what she
so
likes.
I do, with that in mind, I do have a super soft spot in my heart for Casco because I am from an island in Maine. Like, I live in the Pacific Northwest and my parents live in Maine and they can come to that race and like watch me from a ferry boat. It's like incredibly romantic and cool. And Yeah, it's a very special race because it's the only one that goes island to island. Like, you get done with it and you're like, I stand between 10 islands.
Yep.
It's
pretty special.
It's a pretty cool Strava map.
So I'm tempted to say that's my favorite, but I have to give a huge shout out to Orcus. Orcus is incredible.
We are so optimistic and excited that we will be able to race that this year.
Hopefully. When that race came on the calendar, I forget what we were doing. We're doing like ramping up for 100K or something, or no, I just had a kid.
I don't know.
I just had a kid last year, so it was like.
I like how you confound those two events.
Yeah, you know, it's like NBD, right? But yeah, like so my wife and I, we just had our second child, and I think the race was like a month later or something, and it was just that's not happening. But the course, I mean, I love that type of course.
So badass,
Yeah, and isn't the plate? I feel like Orcus, like Casco is probably my favorite race for the things that Annie mentioned. But don't you feel like Orcus is like the place where you're gonna like run around the corner and see like an elf riding a unicorn?
Yeah, I feel like
magical.
So, like, mystical.
It's got two things going for it. It's like it's a reckoning. Like that course is brutal. Yeah. And in a runner's way, I think if you were to kind of like say runner's race, swimmer's race, obviously they're all swim runner's races, but Casco is more of a swimmer's race, I would say. And Orcus is more of a runner's race in terms of the ratios of how much of the course are devoted to either discipline. And for any athlete, even an athlete who's like, yeah, my primary discipline is running, Orcus is a reckoning.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty special opportunity, but it's a reckoning amidst magic. It's like, you're gonna meet your maker in terms of that physical challenge. And when you meet your maker is going to be a hobbit.
Hobbit.
An elf.
Cool.
I really want Marcus Barton to do that race this year. I hope he gets a chance to, because I just want to hear him say how it warms the chuckles of his heart.
I want to see his GoPro video of it.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Definitely got to appreciate him for that. Just taking, you know, interviewing people while he's racing.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a special guy. I want to go in a little bit different direction. We're coming up to the end of our time together, but I think one of the things we get asked a lot about is finding a partner, qualities in a partner. We've been talking about this. Can you give us sort of what you think anybody that's looking for a partner, what would be like the three or four things that they should be looking for in finding a good partner, obviously based on your own experience and being good partners?
Great question.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the conversation around this has to do with athletic ability. And I would actually like to present an alternate viewpoint, which is that it is less about athletic ability, in my opinion, and more about kind of like what you guys called out at the beginning. Who do you want to spend all this time with? You spend a lot of time with your partner, even if you live in separate places, even if you're not training together. The races are 6+ hours long. Mm-hmm. And I think a starting point would be to ask yourself, can I spend 6+ hours with this person?
Right, and not like
through
kill them.
The ups and the downs.
Yeah.
And,
not just like leave them in the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we actually wrote an article on this because it was something that we thought about a lot, just like why our partnership works for us and other partnerships work for other people. But like, I think a big part for us is having the same goals for the race. And, you know, I think some people have the goal to win it not to say that we don't have that like on our radar for many of the races, but like worlds, we're totally going to win worlds, you know, but
sleeper pick. No,
but some people have the goal just to finish it and have fun. And, you know, you want to obviously not pair those two people together. So I think if you find someone who you're like, hey, do you want to do this with me? And if we do it, what do you want to get out of it? And those things match up, then I think you're gonna do well together. Because if you want to get out of it winning, then you're both gonna prepare, and you're both probably pretty good athletes already. Right. If you want to get out of it just having fun, then you're not gonna take yourself too seriously.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. I mean, either you're prepared or completely delusional, which
yeah, yeah, which
And I would say also, like, it doesn't even need to be that black and white about goals. Like, I think, Brooke, you brought up something that's true for us, which is that our A goal is to complete the race and have fun, and our secret, perhaps not achievable goal is to win. And we're, like, flexible on the spectrum, and we're both in that camp.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. If you're a flexible person, maybe look for a flexible person. If you tend to be a more rigid person, I don't know. It's tough to
and
say.
I think it's important to find someone who has the same pre-race ritual as you. Annie and I like to do our dance thing in the woods by ourselves. And I don't know anybody else who I'd be able to do that with.
You literally stole my last question. I was going to ask who's responsible for the pre-race ritual dance that we're seeing here on swimrunlabs.com. And how did this whole thing come about?
And we'll link that in the show notes.
Yeah, it'll be in the show notes. We might even throw it on the Instagram thing.
I think it started on Casco our first year, dancing in the street. Because we always have a pump-up song. Yeah. We always have a pump-up song that we listen to on the way to the race. And like when there's a pump-up song, there's naturally a dance.
A pump-up dance.
Yeah. Yeah, pump up dance.
Is it always the same song or it switches?
No. It's different each kind of each year we go through different songs.
Oh, okay. So like nice.
And then I think one year we were like, let's formalize this a little bit and choreograph something.
So I do have a background in dance. I was a professional dancer in life previously lived. So I would say maybe I was behind the choreographing part, but inspired by my muse, Brooke Lindsay.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Oh, of course. Okay.
Have you done any like Usher music videos or Britney Spears music videos or anything exciting dance wise that, or are you more like, what's the big,
what, like Juilliard or something?
No. Damn it.
You guys sound like such dads right now.
Were you on Who Wants to... So you think you can dance?
Cirque du Soleil, that's what I was looking for.
Were you on the show So You Think You Can Dance?
Oh, man, that's like my dream.
So what? One last question before we let you go. You guys have been huge fans. I guess this is more of a statement, so I take that back.
Oh,
I just want to thank you guys for being big fans of our Instagram meme page
and supporters.
We love
can
you guys.
always count on you guys chiming in, which we really appreciate. And in fact, I've put out memes specifically for you guys because I was Swimmer Labs are gonna like these.
Be ready for some dancing memes coming up.
Yep.
Maybe Napoleon Dynamite gifts.
They do not go unnoticed.
Yep. No, I'm already thinking of a couple memes to sort of preview the show.
Be ready.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Oh, my gosh. We are so ready.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So on that note, we're going to link to you guys to... in our show notes, we'll link to Swim Run Labs. Is there anything else you want folks to know about you guys where they can reach you, ask questions if they have any?
Yeah, just check out the site. Let us know if you want any content specifically geared toward certain questions or subjects, and follow us on Instagram. And most importantly, tell your friends to do a swim run because we guarantee they'll love it.
Guarantee. That you got the Swim Labs 100% guarantee.
Swim Run Labs.
Yep.
Money back.
What did I say? Swim Labs?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Money back guarantee.
Money back. Yep.
There's no money exchange, but you get it back if you want.
You will get it back. 100% and then some.
Well, Annie and Brooke, we really, really appreciate both of you coming on and chatting with us and telling us about the incubation of Swim Run Labs and your lasting partnership and even your dancing skills. So we really appreciate that. And I say this with the utmost sincerity. We will see you at Orcas.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. We appreciate you guys so much. Thanks for having us.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Low Tide Boys, a Swim Run podcast. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave a review on iTunes if you're so inclined.
You can also sign up for our newsletter at lowtideboys.com. That's boys with a Z. And check out our meme page at The Low Tide Boys on Instagram. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, drop us an email at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Writing Easy Records for our show music and, of course, our wives for their support and tolerance of our swim run activities, hobbies, and other bullshit we do.
Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. Until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
And then a run.
And then another swim.
Then another run.
And then another swim.
And then run to the finish line. And just keep going until you're done.
Yes. Or
until
run
you
to
cross the finish line.
Or run to the car.
Or run to your car.
Somewhere. Just keep running. Peace. Peace.